Kings fans, it's time for game night.
And he scores! Wins it in overtime!
With a comprehensive look at the upcoming game, including a look at the Kings and their opponents.
Coming in off the right wing, took it to the net.
Interviews, analysis with notes, news, and scores from around the NHL. And your calls. Let us know what's on your mind. Call us now at 877-KINGS-20. That's 877-KINGS-20. It's game night, and it starts now.
Kings fans, welcome back. I am Jesse Cohen, coming to you live from the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center here in downtown L.A., where Dustin Brown's jersey hangs just to the right of Rob Blake's jersey in the rafters. It's game number 55 for your LA Kings as tonight they take on the Buffalo Sabres here at Crypto.com Arena. The Kings pulled off a perfect evening here on Saturday night, defeating the Pittsburgh Penguins by a score of 6-0. Adrian Kempe scored 3 goals in the second period and added a 4th in the third as Phoenix Copley picked up his first shutout as a member of the LA Kings. The out-of-town scoreboard didn't offer up much help over the weekend as the Kings enter action tonight tied with Seattle and Edmonton with 65 points, but in the first wildcard spot thanks to the first tiebreaker, which is regulation and overtime wins. Sabres, meanwhile, are playing the first of 3 games in California tonight after losing on home ice Saturday night. No help to the LA Kings, however, as it was the Calgary Flames that burned the Sabres by a score of 72. Will the Kings keep the good times rolling from Saturday night? We'll find out in just over an hour. But for now, we're taking your questions and comments here at LA Kings Game Night. Call in 877-KINGS-20. That's 877-KINGS-20. Any questions, comments, thoughts, or observations? I'd love to know if you were in the building on Saturday night or if you were watching at home, what you thought of it. I'm aware that there are some other topics out there that people might have questions or thoughts about. Again, you can call in 877-KINGS-20. And as always, we are giving away tickets to an upcoming Kings game. Now, we didn't get into all of this during the last game because it was Dustin Brown's night. But since the Kings came back from their break over the All-Star weekend, Arthur Kaliev and Trevor Moore were both activated from IR. They both played on Saturday night. Gabriel Vilardi has been skating in full contact jersey with the team this morning and yesterday. He is not going to be in the lineup tonight as per Todd McClellan when we spoke to him this morning. But he is skating with the team. And then this morning, Carl Grundstrom began skating with the team in a red no contact jersey. He had been skating by himself in the morning before the rest of the team in that red no-contact jersey. This morning at the morning skate, he was back out there. So, Gabriel Vilardi and Carl Grundstrom both close to returning. And when they do, the Kings will have a decision to make because they'll have one too many players on the roster, assuming that they carry 7 defensemen, which they are presently doing because Toby Paquette-Bisson was recalled from Ontario today. And I would just like to point out that though you may not have ever heard of Toby Paquette-Bisson, and despite the fact that there are rumors out there about transactions and players, I do not believe the two moves are related. The Kings have recalled almost every defenseman available to them at one point or another this season. Frederick Allard was recalled on November 27th. Spence, Bjornfoot, and Mouvrari have all been recalled and all seen action. But they have also played games where nobody was recalled, where they skated with just 6 defensemen in the lineup. So I don't think that the recall of Bisson is in any way related to the rumors that have been swirling for the past few days. I could be wrong, but I do not believe that I am. The starting goalie tonight will be Phoenix Copley, based on what we saw at practice this morning. Copley has a record of 16-3-1, with a goals against average of 2.77 and a save percentage of .901. For the Buffalo Sabres, the only familiar face we are looking at is Cale Clegg. He has only played 21 games, I believe, this season. Not clear if he will be in the lineup tonight, but former Kings draft pick Cale Clegg has been gone for a few seasons now. In Kings news, Phoenix Copley signed a contract extension. That was known on Saturday night, but again, we were spending a lot of time talking about Dustin Brown, with good reason. And of course, in other news, Dustin Brown had his jersey retired and a statue unveiled on Saturday night. Two huge honors for the former captain of your LA Kings. Other important games tonight. The Flames are playing the Senators. The Coyotes are playing the Predators. And the Florida Panthers take on the Minnesota Wild. And ordinarily, we would just focus on the Pacific Division. But because the playoff races are getting so close, we are including the teams in the Central Division that are contending for that wild card spot. Colorado presently in third place in the Central at 60 points, tied with Minnesota, who also has 60 points. But Calgary also has 60 points. So should Colorado drop below Minnesota, and should Calgary pass Minnesota, it will all matter until the Kings have secured that X next to their name in the standings, indicating that they have clinched a playoff spot. We're going to keep our eyes on all of those things. Meanwhile, the Flames are up 2-1 over the Senators at the beginning of the third period. The Coyotes and Predators are tied at 2, and the Panthers and Wild are tied at 1 with about 5 minutes left in the second period. Tonight's trivia question, if you'd like to call in for a chance to win those tickets that I mentioned earlier. Nick Nixon likes to do his trivia question for Kingstock. I've decided to start doing my own trivia question for LA Kings game night. So if you'd like to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Kings game, your trivia question for the night: when did the team change its colors to black and silver? Was it 1989-90, 1988-89, 1991-92, or 1987-88? Again, when did the LA Kings change their colors from Forum blue and gold to black and silver? Was it at the start of the 89-90 season, the 88-89 season, the 91-92 season, or the 87-88 season? If you'd like to give that answer and you are out of town and you can't accept tickets to a game, go ahead, call in. If you win, I'll figure something out. We'll send you I'll find something at the office, or maybe we can get some Popcornopolis to you. But go ahead, call in if you have the answer to that question, or if you just want to talk about Dustin Brown Night. 877-KINGS-20, 877-KINGS-20. So we are then going to move on to our clips that we have. We heard from Todd McLellan. We'll have some quotes from Dustin Brown from his media availability during the first intermission of that game on Saturday night. Talk to Trevor Moore, Sean Dursey, Phoenix Copley. But we start with Todd McLellan talking about the challenge that might be facing the Kings soon. As I said, if Gabriel Vilardi and Carl Grundstrom are back in the lineup soon, some difficult choices to be made by the Kings front office.
If that group of players continues to play real well, it's going to make it hard on people to make decisions. And coming out of the break, we talked about that. When everybody is playing at the best of their abilities, that's a really good sign for our organization, but it makes it hard for some decisions. Some players end up disappointed because they're out of the lineup, not because they haven't been playing well, just we have enough players right now and they're all healthy to play. So they have to accept the hand they're dealt, whether they like it or not, and keep their attitudes good and be ready to go. Rarely does anybody stay healthy for long periods, and we're obviously proving that 2 years in a row. But once we do get healthy, the internal competition is really going to get cranked up.
That was Todd McLellan talking about that internal competition that he is so fond of, and I believe the entire Kings organization is fond of. And it's a bit of a flip from last year. Last year, the Kings struggled to find healthy bodies on the blue line, playing 14 defensemen over the course of the season. At one point, the six starting defensemen for the Ontario Reign were recalled to the Kings, and the Kings' six defensemen on opening night were all unavailable. Ole Mata, I believe, the only player at that point. Though he was not dressed on opening night, he was in the lineup. Tim from Upland is calling in. Tim, how are you doing?
I am doing great, thank you.
My pleasure. Were you in the building on Saturday night by any chance?
I was not, unfortunately, but I listened to every minute of it. It was spectacular.
And was there a specific moment that stood out to you that got you choked up? I know I certainly did.
You know, I thought Rob Scuderi. I was really touched by Rob Scuderi for some odd reason. I don't know why, but his speech really moved me.
Well, Rob Scuderi is a sort of, there's a number of surprisingly well-spoken guys on that team. You know, I don't think anybody saw Matt Green being able to deliver a speech like that. Rob Scuderi, Tim, I agree. So you have a shot at the answer to that trivia question, Tim?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
They went to the black and silver in the 1988-89 series when Gretzky arrived.
That is correct, Tim. That is the first season that the Kings changed to black and silver. If you want to go ahead and give your name and email address to the call screener, we will go ahead and send you tickets to an upcoming Kings game. I'll email you personally. We can work out what game works best for your schedule.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. Have a good night. And hopefully you'll hear the Kings pick up 2 points here tonight against the Buffalo Sabres.
I sure hope I do. Yes, absolutely.
All right, go Kings, go, Tim. Todd McLellan was also asked a topic that I think everybody who's worked for the Kings, who has friends that are Kings fans or family that are Kings fans, has been asked. And that is about the trade rumors, the trade speculation. I'm not going to pretend to not know what's going on. Saturday night, the Arizona Coyotes publicly announced that Jacob Chychrun was being held out for quote-unquote trade-related purposes, which is a phrase that means everything and yet at the same time means nothing at all. For the next 3 days, we've been hearing rumors and theories, and apparently the Kings had to reach out to Brant Clark to tell him that he was not going to be traded away. I have not verified that. I'm just reading what everybody else is reading on Twitter. But this morning, Todd McLellan was asked if the players hear these sorts of things and how they handle it.
Players hear these things. They may say, I don't read the newspapers and I don't listen to TV or anything like that, but they hear things. They're on social media. And everybody wants to get better. But as I said last night, we like the group of players that we have. We like the team that we've built. We like the chemistry that we have. If we can make it better and it works out, then great. And if not, then we'll be just fine with the group that we have.
That was Todd McLellan, and it's a difficult question for a coach to be asked, I think, because obviously he can't say, yes, we are in the trade market for a specific player, and he can't say no. If he says yes, then the automatic question is what players will be going the other direction, and obviously he can't speculate about that. And if the answer is no, then he's on the record as denying something that might wind up happening. And if it did wind up happening, well, then everybody looks a little silly. So, as he said, the players are aware of it, but the organization is happy with the roster they have. Obviously, you would always like to improve your team. But the question I always like to raise as a fan, never mind as a member of the organization, is what does it mean to improve your roster? It's simple to point to player A and say, well, gosh, player B is so much better than player A. And sometimes that is indisputable. You could look at any of the Kings players and then point to Connor McDavid and say, well, gosh, if we just swapped out player A for Connor McDavid, that Connor McDavid is the best player in the league. Therefore, replacing any player on your roster with Connor McDavid would make your team better. But I'm not entirely sure that's actually true. There are some cases where it's true, certainly. But hockey is a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport, I personally believe. And players come at a cost when it comes to trades, and this is not me saying the trade won't happen. I certainly don't know if it will or won't. But to Todd McLellan's point, the LA Kings are not struggling. They like their roster. We'll talk about their record since the last time they faced off against the Buffalo Sabres in the next segment. But the Kings like their chemistry, not just their roster, but also their chemistry. And making moves like that require consideration of more than just the sum of the total parts. I think I have that right. At any rate, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, We'll hear from Dustin Brown about what he thought about the evening where his number was retired and his statue was unveiled. We'll hear from Trevor Moore, Sean Dursey, Phoenix Copley, and more from Todd McClellan. This is LA Kings Game Night. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
You. Y-O-U. Three little letters to make a very small word.
That means so many things, because no you
is ever one single thing.
You.
If put at the start, starts to change everything. To begin a sentence,
begin with you.
You.
Kind of makes you wonder
how big you can become when you
comes first. Every you at the center of what we do. Blue Shield of California.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
The LA Kings play here.
Score! Arvidsson!
Bally Sports West.
Patrick Gold!
And now, you have more ways to watch than ever. With your service provider.
To win it!
Or with the all-new Bally Sports Plus, available on the Bally Sports app.
Oh, what a setup!
Bally Sports West, your home for LA Kings hockey.
Energy is building at Crypto.com Arena. Be a part of the best entertainment experience in Los Angeles. Join the Kings family today and choose the ticket plan that works for you. Lock in your seats by visiting lakings.com/memberships today. And go Kings!
This is LA Kings Game Night. Make your voice heard. Call 877-KINGS20. Back to the action on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here once again inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center here in downtown LA, where the Buffalo Sabres are in town to take on your LA Kings. In the first segment, we asked a trivia question that Tim from Upland got correctly, so we're going to bring out another one. If you know the answer to this question, call in for a chance to win either a pair of tickets to an upcoming Kings game, or I will rustle up something from the office to send you if you are not local. Which member of the Kings front office once claimed, "At the end of the year, I make a list of my mistakes, and it's pretty friggin' long"? Was it Bruce McNall, Dean Lombardi, George McGuire, or Sam McMaster? If you know the answer to that question, call in 877-KINGS20, 877-KINGS20 for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Kings game. Dustin Brown's jersey was retired on Saturday night. His statue was unveiled outside of Crypto.com Arena. And he spoke to the media during the first intermission of that 6-0 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was asked how he felt about the night in general.
I don't like the attention, but I'm proud of everything. And I got to share it with a lot of important people in my life, so that's the main thing. And Mike Tomei went really smoothly. So from a Kings perspective, it was really good too.
Not saying a lot there was Dustin Brown, but the reason I wanted to single out that clip was because one of the things that I've taken away from my conversations with Dustin Brown as a result of this event and all the interviews that we've heard people talk about, he really was just the consummate team player. Doesn't like attention, and really ultimately, you know, even when the night was going on and he was being asked about it by the media, was talking about how it went for the team, and at that point, not even the team on the ice, but just talking to Mike, he referenced there is Mike Altieri, senior VP for the LA Kings, cared about how it was being received by the organization. He was asked how he reacted on finding out that he would be getting a banner and a statue earlier in the year.
It was like 2 days after I got knocked out of the playoffs. I had a meeting with Luke, Mike, and Cheese, and Mike can contest this. I was a little uncomfortable with some of it. It's a little overwhelming, especially when they tell me I'm going to have a statue. And I ask them who else has statues, and they say me and Gretzky. It made me a little uncomfortable. I told Mike I'm not ready with it right now, but give me some time. I'll get there.
So that was Dustin Brown, and again, referring to Mike, that is Mike Altieri, and Cheese, of course, Kelly Cheeseman, COO of the LA Kings. Two men integral in planning and executing that celebration here on Saturday night. And there again, Dustin Brown saying that he wasn't necessarily comfortable with it, but that given time, he would come around. He was asked what he thought of the actual statue once it was unveiled and he had a chance to see it.
I guess my first reaction, if I'm being completely honest, is it is really, really big. That was my initial, I'm like, oh my, I'm like looking up at the top, it was so tall, I was like, this, but it's amazing. I also had someone told me, if you get a statue, don't complain. So, but when I think about, I think maybe I'll touch on what Luke told me, and I was uncomfortable in that meeting, and he made me feel better. Because I said, Luke, like, you're you, and Wayne's Wayne. And he's like, yeah, but you never did. You did something we couldn't do here. And that made me immediately feel better about the whole situation. And then as this night approached, I just, I was part of a team that did it. So it was just like what I was trying to say tonight, is it represents us all.
There you go again, the ultimate team player, Dustin Brown, being comfortable with the statue because it represented not just him, but the entire team that he played for that won that Stanley Cup. And you heard him say there that when Luke Robitaille told Dustin Brown that he had done something that Luke and Wayne were not able to do, which was, of course, win the Stanley Cup in an LA Kings jersey, that made him more comfortable. Now, the big moment for me personally was the appearance of the Stanley Cup. I didn't know that was part of the festivities. The reaction to the crowd got me choked up, and Dustin Brown talked about the surprise of seeing the Stanley Cup.
Well, I thank my teammates at the end of last season for giving me an opportunity to play for something one more time in my career. And we lost in Game 7. I figured I'd never see that trophy again. I did not know about, I don't know, I think like five people knew about that. So when they brought that out, it gave me one last moment with that unbelievable trophy, and it was amazing.
I agree with Dustin Brown. It was amazing to see that trophy there, and the crowd's reaction to it got me all choked up. Our last quote here from Dustin Brown, and we will make the full media availability available as a downloadable podcast. You can go to lakings.com/podcast in the coming days to find that. But Dustin Brown was asked about playing hockey in L.A., what he thought about it when he first was drafted. And in the middle of his answer, you'll hear the goal horn going off because Adrian Kempe scored the first of his four goals in the middle of Dustin Brown answering that question. And Dustin Brown did pause, look to the side of the room where the some executives were assembled, give a fist pump and a thumbs up. So here's Dustin Brown talking about hockey in L.A.
I remember I got drafted by L.A. and I was like, that seemed I can't remember what I was saying. I came to LA and I remember flying in. It was like, how do they play? Like palm trees and all that. And but then I got here and got comfortable. And even early in my career, I kind of touched on the fans, like 2012 and all that. But there was fans that, like, you got here and you had Kings fans. They weren't the loudest. They weren't, but like you would see them around, like, go Kings. And it was kind of a unique thing. And then what we built and accomplished, it just exploded. And now you have young and old. And it's like a great hockey. It's a great hockey town. And it's also, at least for a player like me, it's a great place for a player for me like to play, because they love their hockey. And I think it's a great thing where you can be in a town, you can live your life, a normal life, without the pressures of playing in some of these other cities that it's like a crazy town.
That was Dustin Brown talking to the media on Saturday night about his number being retired, the banner going up to the rafters, the statue being unveiled out front. And he name-checked Trevor Moore in his speech at Center Ice, and I had a chance to talk to Trevor Moore and asked him what it was like having grown up in Southern California. Obviously a Thousand Oaks native is Trevor Moore. What it was like to not just play for the Kings, but also to hear Dustin Brown mention him by name in his speech on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. If you had told me, you know, 10-year-old me that Dustin Brown, I'd be able to sit up there with him and his jersey retirement and he would name me, I would never ever believe you. So it's super special. Brownie's an unbelievable guy, changed the culture around here. I mean, he made the Kings what they are, so super, super lucky to play with him.
It was Trevor Moore, and as you said, unbelievable to have Dustin Brown name check him in that speech on Saturday night. Saturday night was Trevor Moore's first game back to the lineup. The clip you're about to hear is answer to two questions sort of spliced together. First one was, what did he think of his game back in the lineup? And second question is it going to take him a while to regain that chemistry he had with Deneau and Arvids?
That was all right. You know, felt like making good plays, but definitely a little winded out there. It's always hard to maintain game shape, but felt good as the game went on. No, you always got to grow it, and things are always changing, different matchups, things like that. But like I said, I thought we played well. Just trying to get back in the goal column, so here pretty soon, you guys.
Was Trevor Moore, and hopefully he will get back in the goal column here tonight against the Buffalo Sabres. Also spoke to Sean Durzi and asked him, when you're coming off of a game where you not only defeat your opponent 6-0, but you also have a statue unveiled and an appearance by the Stanley Cup before the game, how do you make sure that there's no letdown in that follow-up game?
I mean, obviously that night, you kind of enjoy it. It's a privilege to be a part of it. It's a bit privilege to know Brownie and to have that happen for him and his family. So you enjoy that as well as you can. You don't take anything away from that. I think if we do a good job of kind of just going to the next game and taking a game at a time, I think we'll be fine.
Also talked to Sean Durzi about the fact that the previous game against the Buffalo Sabres is the one that Todd McClellan keeps referring back to as the sort of shift in the season. Everybody talks about the Boston win, which was a game after that 6-0 loss to the Buffalo Sabres. They defeated the Boston Bruins in Boston. But Todd McClellan talked about the first 40 minutes of that game against the Sabres as, in his mind, being when the team started to play a better game, even though that third period got away from them. So I asked Sean Durzi, is tonight an opportunity to correct that error and maybe get a little bit of revenge?
We take game by game. Obviously, you try to build and get better every day. That's kind of what this, from my experience so far, is what the league is how much better can a team get throughout the season and where can they expand their game. So looking at that game, I mean, I thought we played a strong game for two periods and a little bit maybe, and we kind of fell apart in the third. We've talked about that, finding a way to be able to close out games, win those close games. And we've done it before. We've gone close games all year. But it's just being consistent with it. And I mean, playing with a lead, it's we had a good opportunity last game to kind of correct that. I thought we did a good job. It's just growing and being better. So I think we got a good opportunity to kind of, you know, get that one back. We're able to take advantage of it and ready to go.
That was Sean Durzi, and I can see the LA Kings in the hallway getting ready to come out for warm-ups. So that means we are going to take a break right now. When we come back, it'll be time for Duly Noted with Zach Dooley. This is LA Kings Game Night. Stick around, Kings fans. We will be right back.
Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel has another reason for you to come in today. For a limited time only, Yamava is giving all new and inactive members a buy one, get one free buffet. Plus, new members can win up to $1,000 in free play for signing up a Club Serrano membership. You'll earn rewards from playing any of the 6,800 slots or table games. Experience SoCal's best buffet and resort. Yamava is your home to big wins and even bigger prizes. Go for a BOGO today. Details at yamava.com/new member. Must be 21. Please gamble responsibly.
Score a goal and join the team that is building a stronger LA. Join the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. LADWP is an excellent place to work with competitive pay, excellent benefits, and many opportunities for professional and personal growth. If you're ready for a change, this is your chance. A job for you is ready and waiting. There are over 150 different types of jobs open to anyone that meets the minimum qualifications. Visit joinladwp.com for more information. That's joinladwp.com.
If you want to, but you must call 811. If you dig without making the call, it could be bad for everyone. Our utilities under your property can be buried any place. So if you dig around, don't do it right. There could be thousands of fines to pay. You can dig. You can dig. Everybody can dig. You just have to call 811.
Learn more at socalgas.com/811.
Experience the future of connectivity with Spectrum One. You get Spectrum Internet delivering the fastest speeds in the nation for $49.99 a month. Advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced privacy and security, free for 12 months. And a Spectrum Mobile line with unlimited talk, text, and data, plus nationwide 5G, free for 12 months. That's Spectrum One. Visit Spectrum.com or your local Spectrum store today. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
To more of LA Kings game night. Call 877-KINGS-20. Back to the action on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center here in downtown LA, where the LA Kings and Buffalo Sabres are on the ice here at Crypto.com Arena for warmups. That means that it is time for Dooley Noted.
Call Dooley!
Dooley!
Let's call Dooley!
Dooley loves a good party!
Dooley in the house!
Duly noted.
It's time for warm-ups. That means it's time for Duly Noted. Joining me now is Zach Dooley. How are you doing today, Zach?
Jesse, I am doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I was a little bit surprised in the last 48 hours, I guess, that as many players and even Todd McClellan were willing to acknowledge that tonight's game against the Buffalo Sabres might have something to do with the last game against the Buffalo Sabres. Maybe not in the way that the narrative that like I would want to construct it, but I was expecting schedule is what the schedule is.
Yeah.
One game at a time, 200 feet, 60 minute pucks in deep. And we got a little bit more than that.
Look, we've heard more about that game over the course of the full year than any other game, right?
Yep.
Not even close. I think that game gets referenced like every other day. It seems like it always comes back to that game in some way. So it's obvious that, you know, that third period is something that has stuck in the minds. Maybe it's in the back or was in the back for 2 months. Now it's coming to the forefront. But the players and the coaches have not forgotten that game for a lot of different reasons. I don't think a revenge game is like the narrative that we're really going for here. But it's clear that the team was not happy with that period after they were happy with the first 40 minutes. And they want to rectify that here today. It's not like they're aiming to correct the things from that third period because those problems are 2 months old, but they're aiming to have a better showing over 60 minutes tonight for sure. That much is clear no matter who you've talked to, I think.
Buffalo is such an interesting opponent too because they are, you know, Todd literally just said there's no such thing as a perfect player. There's no such thing as a perfect team. Buffalo is certainly not without its flaws, and yet they have dangerous players on that roster, and they are in a position where every game for them is you know, I don't want to say life or death, but they are on the cusp of making a playoff spot, which would be huge for that market, for those players. They have their own narratives, you know, Jack Eichel departing, and then, you know, if they could make the playoffs, if Tage Thompson can, you know, assume the mantle of a legit NHL superstar, etc. So I mean, this is an important game for them as well.
It is, and you just, they have so many exciting pieces all at the same time, and they finally seem to have that core of guys committed long-term who want to be there and build up the Buffalo Sabres, which they haven't had before. It's like they had Jack Eichel, but they never surrounded him with that rest of the team, right? Or if they did, it's now the guys who are here now who were about to get there, but that was 8 years into Eichel's tenure. So you're right. It feels a little bit different when it comes to that team. It no longer feels like, oh, yeah, it's great, but it's Buffalo. It'll come back to earth. It feels like they have something sustainable. They're a very exciting team. to watch. They might, like you said, they're a flawed team for sure, but we almost saw both sides of the Sabres when these teams met in December. Like, the Kings dominated that game for 40 minutes. They just couldn't score. And then Buffalo snapped their fingers. Tage Thompson was uncovered on a 5-on-3, went bar down as Tage Thompson does, and then the floodgates opened. They can strike quickly. They can strike fast, but they can also receive possession for a while. Had the Kings buried a couple, they probably win that game handily. So it's a very, very fun team to watch. I like watching Buffalo sometimes. I'm just sitting at home. They're exciting. It's good that they're in the mix. I think it's good for the league to see that team rising up and in the mix. And hopefully for the Kings' sake, they can enact their revenge, for lack of a better word.
There's been conversation about the Kings' offense and the fact that it is as prolific as it has been in a long time. And, you know, we might have six players by the end of the season with 20 goals or more. And looking at Buffalo, they already have four.
Wow.
And they've got one with 17 and one with 14. Now, I doubt Jack Quinn and Casey Mittelstadt will go ahead and catch the 20 mark by the end of the season, but they're tied at 8 at the moment. But, you know, Buffalo could also have 620 goal scorers. And a question that I attempted to ask Todd McClellan the other day, I didn't phrase it really well, and so I didn't get a tremendous answer, and I'm probably not going to phrase it well here. I wonder if, when you have a team like Buffalo, as much of a superstar as Tage Thompson appears to be becoming, if you have that much offensive firepower spread throughout the lineup, because they also have, you know, defensemen who can become activated, is it almost easier to defend because you are not giving yourself a moment to lose concentration? You know, if you're playing a team at the bottom of the standings who has one line, maybe you don't pay as close attention to the third or fourth line or the second line, and that winds up burning you. Whereas Buffalo, you have to be constantly diligent.
The question that I would phrase is, in your scenario, it's obvious. I think it's harder to defend because they're a good team, not a bad team. But
top to bottom,
what's easier to defend? Is it, say, a team like Edmonton when they load up McDavid, Draisaitl,
right,
who is a good team,
mm-hmm,
or is it harder to defend a Buffalo team that has three lines? And I think that he almost answered the question in a different question a while ago, which was, when the Kings put Kevin Fiala on the third line, does it make them harder to defend because they have three lines you have to focus on as opposed to two? I personally think it's harder to defend a team like Buffalo, not easier. Not because you forget about lines other teams. I don't think that's really a thing. I think that it's harder because you can't just stack pair. All of your guys have to be able to defend against a quality line, and it's what the Kings can sometimes provide difficulty with for other teams. When you have to choose between Kopitar's line, Deneau's line, and Fiala's line, you only have three pairs, so someone's going to get the third pair, the third matchup line, and that's when you can potentially have a mismatch.
Yeah, and this gets into the issue of competing depths, right? So even if the Kings have three lines that can score, do the Kings have enough defensive players, right? Do we have the defensive depth to match Buffalo's offensive depth? Whereas a team, like, let's say Edmonton does load up Draisaitl and McDavid and Kane on one line, well, okay, now we, if we do find a way to nullify that with defense, we don't need to worry about our own defensive depth because that's it. Those are their cannons.
Right. You can't just can't just shut down that line, but if you are able to, then you're probably going to win the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whereas you're right, with a team like Buffalo or with a team like the Kings, it's not necessarily like, you shut down line A, you're good. You have to still worry about lines B and C.
Yeah, it should be a really fun game. And it does give a really nice segue to a topic that was discussed today with Todd McClellan, which is returning bodies, depth on the Kings, and what's to be done about these young players who are filling roles in ways that we weren't necessarily sure they would. I mean, at this point today, Jared Anderson Dolan is a player that I would much rather have in the lineup than out, as compared to how I felt about it maybe in early October.
You look at the fourth line right now, right? It's Anderson Dolan and Kupari and Kaliev.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson Dolan was a healthy scratch on opening night. Kupari was with the Ontario Reign on opening night. So you have two of those three pieces who saw an opportunity. They haven't taken it the entire year, but over the last same month, both players have stepped up. Both players have taken some of that opportunity, and they're going to make it difficult to take them out. That being said, when Gabe Vilardi's ready, Gabe Vilardi is going to go into the lineup. But where is he going to go into the lineup? Because if you look at what the Kings have right now, you know, Quentin Byfield probably not coming off of his line at the moment. More Deneau Arvidsson just getting back together. Clearly the Kings want to see them rekindle what they had. They're probably staying together. You have a third line that has Blake Lizotte playing extremely well with Kevin Fiala. Alex Iafallo just scored in that spot the other day. He's not a fourth line guy. Something's got to give because Gabe Vilardi's not a fourth line guy either. So eventually something does have to move around. A player has to be moved into a different spot. Something has to change. Really good problem to have because you then have a player who is more than capable of playing, not playing. That guy's going to be hungry. That creates depth. It creates when there is an injury, you can maybe kind of slide by seamlessly as opposed to like, oh crap, like who's going to fill this spot? We already know he's going to fill that spot because he's there. The question really becomes when Carl Grundstrom comes back as well, you have one too many forwards to keep on the active roster. That's when a decision really has to be made. But I think we're still a little bit away from that point in time.
Yeah, I mean, Gabe Vilardi not even playing tonight.
Right.
Despite,
and Carl's still in red. We're probably talking next week. And as we've seen far too many times, you never know what else happens in that week. The picture today might not be the picture when we talk on Monday.
Incidentally, I want to fly a phrase by you that I've started using. See if you like it.
All right.
When a guy returns from a red no contact jersey, I'm calling it skating in full colors.
Okay.
Because the red no contact jersey is also red socks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than saying he's out of a red no contact jersey, which just, I don't know, just seems mouthy for me.
Okay.
I just say he's back in full colors.
It's kind of weird that we designate the color. Like, he's in a non-contact jersey.
Right.
Is probably all that needs to be said. It's just funny because I actually didn't realize until this year, but not every team designates red as
their
non-contact.
Right?
Because, like, the Detroit Red Wings, their gray is red. Like,
their reds
and teams like that, like, their non-contact might be blue or green or something. It's, like, it's just a color that stands out. Like, don't hit this guy. So it's funny. It's, like, only the, not only the Kings. A lot of teams do it, but not every team uses red specifically to designate non-contact. I picked up on it when I was watching, you know, one of the other teams that have skated here this year. I was like, ah, who's this guy? Why is the only one guy in green?
Right.
Like, oh, it's not it's not non-contact when your top six color is red.
But I don't like using, so for example, what I had previously been using was he's in a full contact jersey.
Right.
But I don't like that because it's not full contact, it's practice. They're not going out there and bludgeoning each other. So then I drop
I just say in a regular jersey.
Right. But they're all always in, I don't know.
I feel like that expression is perfectly you.
Yeah, I like it. Full colors. That's what I'm going with.
And it's like a, it fits you. It's, a little, it's a little quirky. I like it. I do. I like it for you.
Perfect.
I'm not going to say it.
That's all right. As long as you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So Phoenix Copley back in net.
Phoenix.
Again, with his brand new mask. We find out if the team can go 2-0.
Yeah.
Although I kicked myself after making that observation about the mask. The team is also 1-0 in the Dustin Brown statue era.
That's also true. So, it's also true.
We'll find out tonight if they go 2-0. And because of that six-goal outburst, the team shrunk that goal differential from 10 down to 4. And I was sort of surprised to hear Todd McLellan reference the goal differential directly.
Same.
Because it is one of those numbers that I frequently use and frequently reference. But it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything at all.
Yeah.
Like it I think it's what is it maybe a tiebreaker if you were into like a redonkulous
tiebreaker fourth
scenario
or fifth
that
tiebreaker
would never ever happen.
Yeah.
So the Kings got smoked multiple times early in the year. In the first half of the year, there were several lopsided losses. The Buffalo game,
including that Buffalo
being
game,
one of them. On the same trip, it was the Toronto game. There's two games dash 11, right? Just right there. There were a few other games like that, but it's weird because if you win 2-1 and 3-2 and lose 6-0, you have a 6.66 winning percentage, 6.67 winning percentage, cut that, and a minus 4 goal differential.
Yeah.
If you win 6-0 and lose by, you have a 3.33 winning percentage and a plus 4 goal differential. So it doesn't matter. I think he's obviously talking about a bigger point of, you know, if we continue to have that inconsistency that led to that goal differential, the Kings probably won't make the playoffs, but they did make the playoffs last year with a negative goal differential, right? So
I think they,
or were they plus two at the end?
Like right at the end.
But I dropped the koozie.
Yeah, you did.
But it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, they could get in, you know, if there's a – if you lose by six every 10 games, but in that 10-game stretch you're 7-3, you're going to make the playoffs. So it's an interesting point. I don't think it's ever, like, been brought up or really talked about before until he mentioned it.
Yeah, I think he was the one who introduced it.
Went back to it a couple times.
And it's – I mean, I've gone back and looked, and it's – and every time I bring it up, I always am sort of careful to say it's not 100% that teams with positive goal differentials make the playoffs and teams with negative goal differentials miss. It does happen. It's just unlikely. And as I've always said, for me, any given stat you want to isolate is just your opening line of a story. But you have to tell the rest of the story. You can't just say, like, well, once upon a time, you know, there was a castle. And like, okay, that's it. There was a castle. Cool. Like, no, who was in the castle? What? Why was the castle?
You know, like, obviously the biggest variance in terms of record is going to be one-goal games.
Yeah.
Like, usually a one-goal game record is a sign of regression. The Kings do win a lot of one-goal games. They also play a lot of one-goal games. They don't just win them all. So that's certainly a point of overall regression would be, you know, one-goal wins versus losses. But at the same time, right, it's not a – a defiant signal of a playoff team versus a non-playoff team. It could be more of a sign of an inconsistent team. And you look at that trip when the Kings lost 5-0 and 6-0, they went 500 over. They were 3-2-1 on that trip with a well below 500 goal differential, because I think they had a 3-goal win, 2-1 goal wins, a 1-goal loss, a 5-goal loss, and a 6-goal loss. That's over 500. But way below 500 on goals. So it's interesting for sure.
Hopefully they finish tonight with a positive goal differential in just matters, tonight's game. Yeah, because that's how you can pick up those wins, Zach Dooley. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
That was duly noted. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, some final thoughts on tonight's matchup between the Kings and Sabres. This is LA Kings Game Night. I'm Jesse Cohen. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back.
The LA Kings. Play here.
Score! Arvidsson!
Bally Sports West.
Hat-trick goal!
And now, you have more wings to watch than ever. With your service provider.
To win it! Yes!
Or with the all-new Bally Sports Plus, available on the Bally Sports app.
Oh, what a setup!
Bally Sports West. Your home for LA Kings hockey.
If you want the best care for kids in California, come to Children's Hospital Los Angeles. CHLA is the highest-ranked children's hospital in California and a top hospital in the nation on the prestigious U.S. News & World Report Honor Roll of the Best Children's Hospitals. CHLA provides outstanding patient-centered care, trains the physicians, nurses, and caregivers of tomorrow, and conducts life-saving research to help bring more cures to more kids. For the best care for kids in California, visit chla.org.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel has another reason for you to come in today. For a limited time only, Yamava is giving all new and inactive members a buy one, get one free buffet. Plus, new members can win up to $1,000 in free play for signing up a Club Serrano membership. You'll earn rewards from playing any of the 6,800 slots or table games. Experience SoCal's best buffet and resort. Yamava is your home to big wins and even bigger prizes. Go for a BOGO today. Details at yamava.com/new member. Must be 21. Please gamble responsibly.
From Star Wars to Kids Day to LA Dodgers Night, the 22-23 season theme night and promotion schedule has something for everyone. Visit lakings.com/promotions to see all the fun the Kings have in store this season. That's lakings.com/promotions, and go Kings!
We return to LA Kings Game Night, a pregame look at the Kings on your LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here once again inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center in downtown LA, where the Buffalo Sabres are in town to take on your LA Kings. We spoke to Todd McClellan about the last time the LA Kings faced the Buffalo Sabres, a 6-0 loss that preceded what most people look back on as a sort of turning point in the season.
Well, in this case, we're talking about playing Buffalo. The third period in Buffalo started to turn us a little bit, I thought, and that was a very strange game because I thought we played some of our best hockey for two periods, and then it went away. So there's a motivating factor in that, finding a way to fix what went wrong in the third period. They're tied for the second highest scoring team in the NHL, so they can score goals. And we saw that happen in that period. They also, I'm sure, weren't happy with their initial game yesterday against Calgary, so we'll have a tiger by the tail. And all of that should be motivating enough for our group. Now, throw on top of that the playoff race and the importance of points.
Todd McClellan was also asked about Tage Thompson, Buffalo Sabres' leading goal scorer.
Certainly in the last calendar year, he's brought a lot of attention to himself and deservingly so. He's an outstanding player. And what happens with some of those star players is nobody really knows their tendencies until they become star players. Well, I think people are zeroing in on him now, but not stopping him. He does so many good things on the ice, his hockey sense and his awareness for his size, his shot. Fun player to watch. I like turning on the TV and watching him. And a tough player to play against. So we'll have our hands full. We'll have to figure out a way to slow him down a little bit.
Tage Thompson is not the only star player that the Buffalo Sabres have to offer. Rasmus Dahlin, the defenseman, 56 points in 50 games. Todd McClellan was asked about how to stop a defenseman who can score as much as a top line forward in the NHL.
Well, we have to be very aware of where he is. We have a guy playing in our conference that plays a little bit like that in Carlson, where he's okay playing almost as a forward. He'll wander around in the offensive zone, and then he has real good legs to get back. So he's a defenseman by title, and he's a rover by play, and he does both of them very well.
Trevor Moore was also asked about the Buffalo Sabres, tonight's opponent for your LA Kings. In typical fashion, he gave a very hockey player answer.
Against a good offensive team, they have a lot of weapons up there. It's going to have to be a good 200-foot game. We have to be responsible defensively and take care of our offense, too. I know we had a lot of shots in the first two periods last time and didn't get a lot of offense or goals off it, so we'll prepare.
That was Trevor Moore. The Kings will have to play a solid 200-foot game against this Buffalo Sabres team, I believe second in the league in goals scored. That is going to do it for us here at LA Kings Game Night. Huge thanks to our interim producer, Jake Warner, and Jeff Cabot at the iHeart Studio in Burbank. LA Kings Game Night will return on February when the LA Kings travel to the Honda Center in Anaheim to take on the Ducks. But for now, we'll take one final break. When we return, Hall of Famer Nick Nixon and Darrell Evans have the call as your LA Kings face off against the Buffalo Sabres. This has been LA Kings Game Night. I have been and will continue to be Jesse Cohen. Thanks for listening, Kings fans.
Off the draw, shot, score!
You've been listening to Kings Game Night with a complete look at the Kings' upcoming game. Be sure to join us immediately after the game for Kings Talk. Call in again with your questions and comments at 877-KINGS-20. And now, stay tuned for LA Kings Hockey, coming up right here on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.